Another drama in Washington State also has all the makings of a great civics lesson, if not a screenplay. A small Pacific Northwest island with a dramatic history, a dispute over how to teach that history to kids, a dispute fueled by issues of constitutional rights, national security, and fear. All this actually is happening on Bainbridge Island, Washington, where 62 years ago, the United States began its World War II policy of Japanese relocation. NPR's Tom Goldman has this report.
2.5 months after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, an order from the White House paved the way for 120,000 Japanese and Japanese Americans living in the U.S. to be removed from their homes on the West Coast and relocated to what became known as internment camps.
Neither the Army nor the War Relocation Authority relished the idea of taking men, women, and children from their homes, their shops, and their farms.
Most have learned about Japanese internment from black and white newsreel footage and history books. But on picturesque Bainbridge Island, a half-hour ferry ride from Seattle, internment history comes alive.
Everybody, come in as close as you can. It's okay, we're not going to bite.
Clarence Moriwaki is a member of the Bainbridge Island Japanese American community. On a recent weekday morning, he led a group of Seattle middle school students to a clearing in the midst of soaring fir and cedar trees.
Where you're standing right now is the first place that this event for 120,000 people of Japanese ancestry were taken away. They were the very first ones right on the very ground you're standing on.
This unique connection to American history is an integral part of Bainbridge Island's identity. It inspired a local author to write the book Snow Falling on Cedars, which later became a movie. And last year, the internment legacy inspired a Bainbridge Island school curriculum for sixth graders entitled Leaving Our Island. Curriculum director Marie Mars appeared in a video about the project.
My goal was to help students understand the dangers of overzealous homeland security measures when our nation's in crisis. During World War II, after Pearl Harbor, our government took actions against Japanese Americans, which it later regretted.
Leaving our island began with the assumption that internment was a mistake. In doing so, the curriculum mirrored accepted opinion. In the last 30 years, 4 U.S. presidents publicly said internment was wrong. A special commission created by Congress decided internment was the result of racism and wartime hysteria. Most Bainbridge Island school parents were okay with the curriculum. Some, however, were not, and 2 in particular were outraged. Mary Dombrowski and Jim Olson have a 6th-grade daughter scheduled to take the class this coming February.
I'm trained as a teacher, so I know that when you teach history, you don't start with an arbitrarily chosen premise and then select your facts to prove it.
Forget starting that it's a mistake. Call it an event of history, and then teach both sides of it.
Which means, says Olson, serious discussion about how the internment decision might have been motivated by issues other than racial prejudice. For instance, the real fear of espionage and sabotage by some Japanese Americans.
We come along this street, and right here, as we came along on this side of the street, we were supposed to look in the other direction and not even look at that building.
Today, 87-year-old Jack Klom can look all he wants at the brick building on the grounds of Fort Ward near the southern end of Bainbridge Island. In 1941, Klom was a Navy radio operator at Fort Ward. The brick building, called Station S, was one of a number of top-secret listening posts on the West Coast used to intercept Japanese radio communications. Some of the messages talked about establishing espionage rings in the U.S. with potential access to important West Coast military installations. President Franklin D. Roosevelt was aware of the radio traffic when he signed the internment order. I asked Klom whether Station S had a role in that decision.
The results of what came through this building caused the decisions to be made in part to relocate the Japanese. I say in part because there isn't a simple answer.
And Klom, like parents Dombrowski and Olson, thinks leaving our island oversimplified internment by judging it from the outset as a mistake and then giving short shrift to information that challenged that judgment. Students heard about the Japanese radio intercepts, but field trips they took as part of the curriculum did not include a visit to Station S. Students heard about the 1944 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that said the internment was justified, but it was portrayed as another blow to Japanese Americans rather than a reasoned decision by legal experts at the time. Supporters of the internment curriculum have fought back, and one of their allies, says Bainbridge Island School Board member Bruce Weiland, is the passage of time.
We have worked through the differing arguments, and as a culture, we've come to some understandings.
We know now, for instance, that no Japanese Americans were convicted of espionage related to World War II. And in 1983, a federal court revisited the case behind the 1944 Supreme Court ruling on internment. Citing new evidence, the federal court issued a ruling recognizing the internment as unjust. Facts like these help our interpretation of history evolve, says Bruce Weiland, and allow us to teach a subject like the internment with a point of view.
We're not going to teach a balanced view of slavery. Slavery was wrong. It was evil. It was a misuse of human beings. And at this point, the American culture has very clearly come to that truth. And I'm not personally, as a school board member, going to apologize for presenting value-laden curriculum when it's clear that our country as a whole has reached a value judgment that is sound and solid and relatively uniform.
My name is Bjorn Ostling, 13.
When he was 12 years old, Bjorn Ostling took part in the Leaving Our Island curriculum. He's been one of the few students to speak out during the debate. He says he didn't sense a bias by teachers. They told us what happened, he says, and we used our heads.
I compared it to what's happening now with the Muslim Americans and how they're being imprisoned. And so I just said that if it can happen then, it can happen again.
But this was another criticism of the curriculum, that it made questionable leaps from World War II to the present, such as portraying the Patriot Act as another government mistake similar to internment. Responding to critics, the school board's Bruce Weiland promises some modifications to the curriculum, but the essence won't change, he says, despite the threat of a lawsuit.
Let me be very clear. It was wrong. We will teach it as wrong.
62 years ago, 227 islanders of Japanese ancestry stood in that clearing overlooking Eagle Harbor, waiting to board a ferry boat. Most of those who are still alive and living on the island have remained silent about the controversy. Younger members of the Japanese American community here say this is a painful debate, but an important one for all involved, because it's made people on this small island think once again about their past and the huge responsibility of how to teach it to those in the present. Tom Goldman, NPR News.